The Lord says to us that he will give to us the keys of the kingdom. I suppose in a real sense that when we come to the house of the Lord, what we really are seeking to accomplish, other than fellowshipping one with the other and worshiping the living God and adoring him, is to learn the keys of the kingdom, how things operate in the kingdom. And as we learn these things, our lives become shaped in the proper order. The word of God says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. A house is established by understanding. Your understanding of the Word of God establishes you in your walk. A lack of understanding causes you to be disenfranchised and unfruitful and unstable. There is not one subject yet that I have come across in the Word of God that I or anyone else that I know of can boldly say, I know everything about this subject. I continue to grow in my understanding of the Word of God. But one of the things I've come to appreciate is the fact that it is not just a matter of knowing the truth in the Word of God, but continuing in that knowledge. That's where the power is. If you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will make you free. The reality is, if I say to you today, what do you know about prayer? We will all have all kinds of amazing thoughts and ideas about prayer. But the fact is, while we're sharing about prayer, we may learn something new that someone just said, I didn't consider that before. Or we may hear something that somebody just said, that said, you know what? I've always known that, but I've not been doing it. So when we come to the house of God, we want to be reminded. We want to be reminded about what is the Word of God saying about this subject. Now, I cannot say to you today that everything I'm going to say today is going to cover the subject I'm going to talk to you about. But maybe we can do some tweaking. Amen? You know, some tightening of the bolts and correcting of the mirrors. You know, okay, I can see the road clearly. And if you have some of the nicer luxury vehicle, you know, where you don't have to adjust anything and it just adjusts for itself, and even your rear view mirror is a camera, and you can see everything. Well, adjustment. Today is going to be about adjustment, getting us to pull together some of the things that we know already and lining it up and saying, now I get it. Now I understand it. Now I know what this is. Praise the Lord. Let me start from a very strange point by going to the book of Job chapter 3 and verse 25, Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. The thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. What he feared came upon him. What he was afraid of came to him. Now, this is a powerful key. Because what you are believing or afraid of is what's going to become your reality. Sooner or later, it's going to become your reality. Now, because this is so, I want you to hear the next statement. What you pray about and how you pray about it can become your problem. What you pray about and how you pray about it can become your problem. Let me say it a third time. What you're praying about and how you pray about it can become your problem. Because the way the enemy works is this, that he lets you become a co-laborer with him in bringing about disaster into your life. How does he do it? He brings a thought. And you start meditating on that thought. And as you meditate on that thought becomes your reality. Now God does the same thing. The same things that I see with the eyes of faith become my reality. That's in the positive. But in the negative, the fears that I have become my reality. Every activity of the enemy and every activity of God is born first in the realm of the spirit. And you download what is happening in the realm of the spirit into your natural. Whether it be faith or fear. You can see a future and believe for that future. And as you focus on that future that is blessed and is good, things begin to line up to move you in the direction of that which you are believing for. But if you are living in fear, things begin to line up to make sure that that which you are afraid of becomes your reality. So my thought life becomes very important because my thoughts are saying something. When you're thinking, you are saying. Let me say that again. When you're thinking, you are saying. And I'm going to show it to you in scripture in just a moment. Now, it's important for you to speak with your mouth. But don't think for a moment that because you did not say it and you were thinking it, that you're not saying it. I didn't say nothing, but what were you thinking? Because what you're thinking is what you're saying. And what you're thinking, it's like the word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. You become that. So come with me first to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew 12. Where I'm going to start from may sound rather odd, because it might seem like it has nothing to say about what I've been saying or talking about. I want you to come along with me a moment. Then was brought unto him, verse 22, Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Somebody say blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb, say blind and dumb, both saw and spake. No. Blind first, dumb. Blind again, dumb. So blind means see, and dumb means spake. No? Is that what he said? Ah. It says both spake and saw. What is that all about? You know, we read the scriptures and we just read. And we don't take the hints of what God is saying. He said, the man that was possessed was blind and he was dumb. Meaning he couldn't see and he couldn't speak. And he healed him in so much that the blind man, who was also dumb, now began to speak. And when he spoke, he was also seeing. Because what you speak is what you see. Oh, yeah. What you speak is what you see. Let me say it again. What you speak is what you what? See. And the role of the enemy was to keep him blind and dumb, because what you don't see, you don't get to speak. Are you with me? It's the chicken and the egg. But God is saying, well, let me tell you, when you speak, you see. But if you want to keep on speaking, you got to keep on seeing. Amen? Speak to see, but continue to see so you continue to speak. When you stop seeing, you stop speaking. And God wants you and I to continue to speak, to continue to prophesy, to continue to declare the purposes of God, the will of God, the mindset of God. And because what you see is what you speak, the enemy must therefore show you pictures of what he wants you to speak so that you can ruin your life. Let me tell you something. The devil only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the things he wants to kill, steal, and destroy is your ability to see and to speak. The enemy will show you all kinds of things and will generate images in your mind. And the idea is for you to begin to say into agreement with those images. And all of a sudden, there it is. All the enemy does is sow a seed. And when you take ownership of that seed begins to birth itself in your life. If what you see about your marriage is that it is a bad marriage, and that's all you talk about, that's all you think about, guess what you're going to get? A happy marriage. A bad marriage. That's exactly what you're going to get. But if you refuse to buy into the circumstance and accept the lie of the enemy and say, that is not the marriage I came in here for, and that's not the marriage I'm going to continue with, and that's not the marriage that's going to be fruitful in my life, I declare this marriage annulled, and I declare that the marriage between me and this man, between me and this woman, is this kind of a marriage. And you focus on that, believing God for it, sooner or later, no matter how bad the struggle is, you will get the marriage that you desire. Whatever it is that you believe God for and stand steadfast for, that's what you're going to end up with. But you think, this husband of mine, he He said, "Dummy, guess what? You love your dummy husband. You think this wife of mine, she is silly? Guess what you got? A silly wife. So why are you complaining about it? You already know that the woman is silly and the man is dumb. So why are you getting upset about it? He is what he is, dumb. The reason you're upset about it is because God is saying to you, that is not the way you should address it. And there's a conflict inside of you that's saying, I see dumb, but I know smart. So God says, say what you want. Say what you want. I have a very smart husband. I have a very wise wife. Thank you, Father, for a smart husband and a wise wife. And God says, as long as you continue in that, that's what you're going to get. For what you say, you shall have. Oh, but I'm lying. I'm going to be lying if I say he's smart when he's dumb. And God says, no, you're foolish when you keep on saying that he's dumb when I created him in my image and likeness, and smartness is in him. I declare that the king in this man show up in Jesus' name. King, be. Queen, be. Oh, but most times, that's not what we do. Are you ready for this? Effective prayer is not praying the problem. Effective prayer is declaring what you want. Prophesying what you want, not stating the problem. God already knows the problem. He knows it already. God doesn't need ding, 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 news alert. He knows. So he does it. Ask people to rehearse their problems. Did you notice? The way the Lord Jesus Christ asks questions is he asks a question so you can tell him the good thing that you want. What do you want? I want to see. See. He doesn't say to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your withered hand. He knows the man has a withered hand. He should say, stretch out your withered hand because that's the hand I want to heal. But God does not act that way. He does not want to give voice to that which is wrong so he can correct it. He just says what he wants. Stretch out your hand. Now it's your decision whether you're going to stretch out your good hand or stretch out the withered hand that you want healed. Your decision. He doesn't come and look at the world and say, oh, the whole place is a mess. No, he says, let there be light. Are you with me? What do you want? What do you want? I want my marriage healed. Amen. God agrees with that. What God doesn't want to hear is, you know, God, my husband is a drug addict. Well, now you've come into agreement with that. My husband is a womanizer. Now you've come into agreement with that. Because that's what you're saying. I want a solid marriage that is blessed and highly favored of you. I declare my marriage is a blessed marriage. I have the happiest home. God, I see myself and my beautiful wife walking hand in hand together down the street. And people are looking at us and saying, wow, look at this 80-year-old couple. Lovebirds. Guess what? I don't care how long you've been fighting. All of a sudden, because that's what you're saying, that's what you begin to see. Hello? Let's do an experiment. I've done it many times before. Let's do it again. Car. What did you see? Did you see C-A-R? You saw a Lincoln. You see words create images, not letters. And when you speak, you are creating an image. You are enforcing, enlarging an image. And that image is going to manifest itself. You will serenade yourself to death with the images of negativity that you embrace. That is not what God wants for you. Amen? So, he spake and he saw. That was the deliverance of the man. And it says, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, watch this now. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? They saw something positive. But when the Pharisees heard it, when they heard what the others were saying, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their what? Oh, wait a minute. It said, they said, verse 24 again. But when the Pharisees heard it, they what? Said. They what? Said. This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They said it. But verse 25 says, and Jesus knew their thoughts. So did they say it or were they thinking it? They were thinking it. But in their thinking it, they were saying it. Are you with me? That's why your thinking needs to be sanitized. Because what you're thinking is what you are saying. He knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's the law. Kingdoms divided, houses divided shall not stand. So what do you think the devil wants to do? He just wants to divide, create confusion. For where strife is, there is every evil work. And what passage is that? In James 3. And what does James 3 talk about? About the tongue. So the way for division is by words. And if you are in conflict within yourself, you are divided. That's why a double-minded person cannot expect to receive anything from God. But thinking is important. The way you think. That's why you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and their life. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind means to be renewed in the word of your mind, the speech of your mind, the talk of your mind. You're believing something, you're believing like this, and in the subconscious level, there is another word that is playing itself out. And now you've got conflict. That's why we need to declare. Just lay your hands on your head right now and say, Father, I declare that any negativity in the subconscious level of my mind be immediately erased in Jesus' mighty name. I refuse conflict in my mind. I will not be divided in my mind. In the name of Jesus, I declare wholeness in my mind, oneness, harmony, peace, unity in my mind. Now, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. It's that conflict that causes people to fall apart. They want to do one thing, and there's a conflicting voice. Now they don't know what to do, and now they are confused. In the state of confusion, you become double-minded. You don't know what you want. But God is asking you and I, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you that I might receive my sight? Receive it. Receive it. I want to be cleansed of this leprosy. It's yours. Go show yourself to the priest. What do you want? You're sitting down there today. What do you want? You know, there's a sister that I just want to mention. I won't mention the name. You know, almost every month somebody has purchased a vehicle. And so, you know, we just go and we celebrate, you know, with a person and say, thank God for what he's done. And this sister keeps on saying, me too. And then she got a brand new car already and maybe 2 months before or a month before. And she says, me too. And I said, that's interesting. Me too. You just got a new car. You say, me too. And sure enough, a month or two later, there was another car. An upgrade. We're dedicating another person's car. She says, me too. And guess what? She gets another car. Why is she getting another car? Because she keeps on saying, me too. Me too. I want another one. I see this one. This one is really nice. I like another nice one. Now, is God annoyed with hearing her say me too? Absolutely not. She can say me too all she wants, and God will keep on providing me too, me too, me too. Rather than be jealous or envious of somebody else, just say me too. God, you did it for that person. Do it for me too. Amen? Hallelujah. Do it for me. You can do it. I see it here. You've done it. Me too. Somebody gets a new house. Me too. What's your complaining about? Somebody gets a nice new outfit. Me too. Somebody gets married and you're not married yet. Me too. Oh God, I'm now 35 and I'm not married yet. I'm going to die an old woman. That's exactly what's going to happen. Or else you say, God, hey, I'm mature and ready. Where is that man? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Don't start fooling yourself. What do you want? It's not praying the problem. It is praying the answer. What do you want? What do you want? The Lord says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? I'm not going to spend my time on that. Some other time I will do that. That's a powerful principle. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils, he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. If I cast out devils, and what devil did he cast out? The blind and dumb spirit. If I cast out devils by the Word of God, Luke would tell us that this casting out of devils in Luke 11 and verse 20, Luke 11:20, he says, by the finger of God, by the finger of God. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. The finger of God. And I did a series with you some months back about the finger of God, the hand of God, and we tied that to the Word of God. So it is by the Word of God that you cast out devils. Wait. If it is by the Word of God that devils are cast out, devils are not cast out by long prayers. So come in and saying, you know, oh, we battled that demon, we bound it, we did this, and we were there battling with it for 12 hours, does not impress me at all. It may impress a religious mind, but that does not impress me. Neither does it impress God. All he said is, get out. Hallelujah. He just spoke the word and got rid of the evil spirit. Why are we there? You know, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh, in the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the trumpet of God. I don't know what else we're going to call, you know, to terrorize the devil for the devil to leave, other than we just speak the word. Why are we spending all the hours trying to cast out demons when it is by the Word of God, the finger of God, stretch out, say, okay, you got to leave now. Bye. And that's it. And believe that you've accomplished it. Elder Andre and Deaconess Loretta were there when we were at R.F. Morrison Elementary School, and ministering as I'm ministering now, we had a lineup of people laying hands on them and praying. That's when we did a lot of laying on of hands. And I came across this particular sister, knew her, we all knew her, and the power of God hit her. Pow! She went down. And a demonic spirit within her rose up. I saw this woman's eyes change right in front of me. I was going to the next person, and I saw that her eyes became fiery red. And she growls at me, I'm going to kill you. I said, so I came back. I said, how dare you talk to me? get out. Power, she went. And you should see the church that day. People were knocking chairs. They were running all over the place, sticking up, because they'd never seen something like this. But we didn't spend time there in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. No. God's word in your mouth is God in operation. Why are we spending all that time allowing devils to take control of the service? Manipulate. You start doing stuff like that, the devil will show up again and again and take over the service. And he will do a big show for you. And you think, oh, look at the anointing. Oh, the anointing of the Lord was so present. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. No. The anointing of God was not present. The devil was present. He has no right to your home. He has no right to your business. He has no right to your marriage. He has no right to your children. And child of God, it is not doing you any good at all agreeing with the devil about the state of that child or the state of that marriage or the state of that business or the state of that job or the state of whatever. Coming into agreement with it and saying, this is the problem, that is not the answer. The answer is in your declaration of what you want. So God's word says, either make the tree good or make it corrupt. You make it with your words. So what are you going to say about your family? What are you going to say about your marriage? What are you going to say about your business? What are you going to say about your relationships? Are you declaring with your mouth what the devil wants to do? Because that's exactly what's going to happen. If you open your mouth today and say, my marriage is dead, guess what it is? Dead. If you open your mouth today and say, you know, I am bankrupt, guess what you're going to get? Bankruptcy. Whatever it is you are coming to agreement with, because God is going to agree with you, or the devil is going to agree with you. But one way or the other, you're going to get whatever it is you're saying. And as you already know, whatever it is you're thinking. Because what you're thinking about is what you're meditating on. Change the thinking. Change the talk. Hallelujah. Because that's the only way you can penetrate the enemy's territory and take what belongs to you. Because what belongs to you, the devil cannot use. He cannot use it. He is a hoarder. And you need to go get your stuff. Say with me, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, I repossess all of my possessions. I take them all back right now in the name of Jesus. Stuff that God has blessed me with, come to me now. Now, 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 now. In Jesus' mighty name. Take your stuff back with your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. My stuff will not hang around the devil's house. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord continues in verse 30. He says, he that is not with me is against me. If you are not with him, and he is the word. Yeah? He says, then you're against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, let us be reminded of what caused the first scatterings. In a minor sense, the first scattering will be the driving away from the garden into the wilderness. Why was that? It was because they chose to believe the devil rather than God. Yeah? Second scattering, pivotal, is when they were united. But they were united against God. And so God says, as long as these people are united, they can accomplish anything they want to accomplish. Now, right there, God gives us a powerful principle, the power of unity. If you stay united, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. Amen? Nothing. You want to accomplish anything? Be united. You get it done. Oh. So God said, let's scatter them. Because they are united for the wrong reason. So God divided their languages. They started speaking, but didn't understand each other. And the ones that understood each other went this way, and that the other group went that way, and that, until the project that they had in mind was unaccomplished. Are you with me? Their project became unaccomplished because they were divided. And basically what God is saying to us is this: as long as you're divided, you will never accomplish. One chases 1,000 and 2, 10,000. Yeah? Now, that's a principle in the Word of God. Now, we use it positively, but when you read the passage, it's a statement that God makes concerning his people when they are not in agreement with his word. He says, one enemy will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. That's really the true connotation of that particular passage, is the enemy scattering people. 1,000, 2, 10,000. Now we flip it around and we talk about it in this, in our sense. But in our sense, one with God is a majority. It doesn't matter whether there's 10,000 or a million. I and God together, we mess up the enemy. Hallelujah. I'd rather have that, don't you? Yeah. Amen. But I don't want the enemy to have any access to any aspect of my life. Not now, not ever. Do you agree with me? Do you believe that for yourself too? Amen. So God wants to do something extraordinary with our lives. And what I'm saying to you today is this: take ownership with the word of God rather than the words of the enemy. Take ownership to the thoughts of God rather than the thoughts of the enemy. He says, my thoughts, the thoughts I have concerning you, they are wonderful thoughts, amazing thoughts. I desire to do you good. Amen? That's what you need to focus on. And stop thinking, God is going to punish me. I think God is punishing me. I think this bad thing that is happening to me is God doing it. No, no. Once you go that route, all you're going to know about God is that God is not a good God. And therefore, you will not be able to forcefully reject that which is negative that's trying to come into your life. You start embracing it. My diabetes, my cancer, my high blood pressure, my skin disease, my eczema, my whatever. As long as you say it is yours, we've got a problem. Because now we have to disown you of it. We have to steal it from you to have an answer. The reason we pray long prayers is because of people who take ownership of issues and say, it's mine. If you say it's yours, what can we do? But when you say, I refuse to accept this, now with a word, a simple word, a simple word, receive it. You know, a dear sister called Mama and I yesterday and said, I want to thank God. I want to thank God for Papa, for I had this situation, the broken ankle, and she was not going to be able to do certain things. And the days were short for something that she needed to do to happen. And I said to her, just a text message, you are healed, and you'll be able to do this and that, and I'm going to help with doing this and that to accommodate you when you get to that particular place. And she says, immediately, what the doctor said was not possible started happening. Immediately. You know why? She was not dwelling on her problem. She had positioned herself to receive a word, and she could run with it. Yeah. When you come before a man or woman of God, present the word that you know you can run with. The widow lost her son and met the servant of the prophet that the prophet had sent to meet her. And the man asked her, is there any problem? She says, all is well. All is well. Her son was dead. But she says, this man cannot solve my problem. Why am I going to tell you what my problem is? And so many times we are busy telling people all kinds of stuff. The more you're talking about it, the more you are solidifying that problem. Now we are going to have to pray and fast to get rid of all that mess just to solve a simple problem that just needed solved. Let me wrap up. I'll continue. You're looking younger. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles and 20. Jehoshaphat is talking to God about the enemy. Yeah? And he is going through all kinds of this, and all of that was good, but all of that was waste of time. All the amazing things that Jehoshaphat was talking about. God, you gave us this land, and the enemy came, and they're trying to take it from us. God already knows that. So what does God do? See, when all the time he was going through all of that, God could do nothing. Until the pronouncement, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And he got instruction on what he's supposed to do. And he began to do what he was instructed to do. And God was able to now work. All the other stuff was waste of time. You know, in my younger days in the ministry, I used to think, and I actually preached it one time, it was not of the Lord. I have a problem, I will blow it all up. I'll talk about this, all the contingencies, all the possible problems that one problem can create. And the reason was, I wanted to cast all of my burdens onto the Lord. Then I found out, oh my, wrong. No, no, that's not what you do. Guess what Jesus does? You want to hear what Jesus does? Jesus says about a man that is dead, he is sleeping. Are you with me? He is what? Sleeping. Because it's easy to wake up a sleep person than a dead person. Jesus never said he is dead. He says sleeping. He says, I am the resurrection. Even if the man is dead, he shall live. He's sleeping. He sleepeth. He sleepeth. Amen? 5,000 hungry men. And he says, 5 loaves and 2 fishes is enough. I got enough. Is that what you say? I got enough to solve this problem? Or we think we don't have enough. And when we start speaking, we don't have enough. Guess what we don't have? Enough. But God says, what do you have in your house? I only have a pot of oil. Go get more pots. Take what you've got and fill these other ones. Because what you want is, I don't want my children enslaved. What do you want? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying whatever it is that you and I need, we already have the answer to. Because God is a multiplier. They didn't have money to pay for taxes. And Jesus said, oh my, what are we going to do? This is really bad. Hey, what are people going to say? That I cannot pay my taxes? I don't have enough money? Hey, what are we going to do? Is that what he did?
No.
He said, Peter, go to the water there, catch a fish, look inside the mouth of the fish, get the coin, and pay. He spoke his solution. For everyone here today, the counsel of the Lord to us is this: speak your solution. My bank account is full. My bills are paid and I have excess. My retirement fund is already full and overflowing. I have more than enough, and I'm giving in my old age to other people and help. I am a distributor of wealth. Hallelujah. Say it until you and what you are saying become one. Amen? Hallelujah? Say it until you become one with your words. Do you receive it? Do you receive it?
Yes.
Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I only went through the introduction. I didn't even get to the real message. But the introduction is introducing you to something. Glory be to God. Amen. Rise with me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. What you see affects everything. I'm going to ask that the Lord will touch our eyes. Lay your hands on your eyes and say, God, I want to see. I receive my spiritual eyesight. I see what you see. and it sees beyond the limitations of man. I see with your eyes, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Therefore, I will speak according to what I see with your eyes. Amen. Put your hands in your mouth. Father, this mouth is cleansed. It is sanctified. It will speak that which it sees. And what this eye see are the things that you see. I have your eyes. Therefore, my speech shall be in agreement with what you see. And that is going to be altogether good. In Jesus' name. Amen. I declare I have a good life. I declare I have a very good life. I declare my life is blessed. I am a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hand on your chest. Declare with me. I am filled with the words of God. It's the words of God that cause me to live. I live by the word of God, and the words of God are faithful. They are true. And whatever I speak out of my mouth will be true. It will contradict every deceptive work of darkness. I declare the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth of God. It is manifest, and that truth declares about me that I am blessed and highly favored. Everywhere I go, blessings pursue after me and overtake me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone say, I am blessed and highly favored. I am wealthy and I'm rich. For wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. I am righteous. I have received the gift of righteousness. I am not a sinner, not even close to being a sinner. For the work of sin is destroyed out of my life once and for all. I am holy, just like my God is holy. I am holy. I stand upright, blessed and highly favored. I give God praise, for he has elevated me. He has blessed me. He has made me head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Wherever I go, I am noticed as the blessed and highly favored one. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, has rebuked you. Get away from me. Get away from my family. Get away from my business. Get away from my ministry. Get away from everything that concerns me. The hand of the Lord is upon my life for good. Amen. I am good. I am good. I am good. God's word says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of his own will has he begotten me. He begotten me. He's begotten me. And he declares me good. I am what God says I am. Not what man says, not what circumstances say, not what the accuser says. I receive the eternal word of God, and what God says goes. It's final. It's done. I am who God says I am. Amen. Give a good clap offering unto the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord for a quick moment. I want to bless those that are listening online. May God's faithfulness be demonstrated in you and with you. We look forward to being with you again tonight. And until then, be at peace and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. God bless you. Bye for now.